somebody. Uh-huh. Where your treasure is where your heart is. Mm-hmm. That word treasure, really, the definition is deposit. Where mm-hmm. you deposit things, where you give things, mm-hmm. whatever's of value to you. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. And gold and frankincense and myrrh at that point were three, hallelujah, of the things that, the commodities that were so valuable. Hallelujah. I didn't even realize at the beginning, praise God. I know that gold is valuable, praise God. Mm-hmm, but yes, the frankincense and the myrrh are even more valuable at this time than the gold. Come amen, on, somebody. Wow, because frankincense and myrrh were very hard to come by. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And so, amen, that thing that was of such value, that was of more value than anything else that they could compare it to during that time on the earth, hallelujah, they were willing to give unto Jesus. They were willing to give unto the King. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. In the midst of their giving, the Bible says that they worshiped. Hallelujah. They worshiped mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So somewhere in there, hallelujah, they realized that, hey, this is more than just a king. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. They worshiped him. And so because they worshiped him, the Bible lets us know that that was a way that they worshiped him. And that's in spirit and in truth. They gave him matter. They gave him physical things, but then they gave them something that was more paramount than the gold, more paramount than the frankincense, more paramount, hallelujah, than the myrrh that they were giving that was of such great value earthly wise. They were giving their worship. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We got a few minutes now. Minister Levante, come on and talk to me. Talk to me. Don't play with me. Talk to me. Hallelujah.
I like that you brought up how where your treasure lies, where your heart is, because mm-hmm. a lot of these people, especially these young people today, we're treating our friends and family and things matter mm-hmm. as idols.
Uh-huh.
And we keep putting into those things, we keep putting our time and energy into those things, and we wonder why our life is in shambles. We wonder why things ain't working right, but it's because we keep putting our energy into the wrong things.
Mm-hmm. Temporary.
We're not opening ourselves unto God, we're opening ourselves unto man. Mm-hmm. And when you open yourselves unto man, you become vulnerable unto man, you can only but fail, because mm-hmm. man is fallible in every single way. Mm-hmm. Our hearts are evil and wicked. But the Bible say, we aren't good people.
Come
we
on.
Are not good people. I had this conversation on my job about good. Good has so many definitions. Mm-hmm. Your good is not somebody else's good, but we need to look at what our good is. We need to now look at what our definition or human perception, amen, of what good is, but look at what God's perception of what uh-huh. good is.
And hallelujah. That's God.
Yes.
Amen. That's God.
And that's amen. God.
The Bible says God is good.
Yes, uh-huh. he is.
Come on, somebody. Yes, that's the definition of good.
Yes.
God and everything that he encompasses and everything that he is. And everything. And so let's zero in right quick. Because we got to go on at the name of Jesus. The name that yes. that Jesus received uh-huh. That eighth day, praise God, after he was born. Praise God. Hallelujah. The name that he received, name represents character, and that name meant Yahweh is salvation.
Yeah.
He came to save us. He came, hallelujah, to bring us up out of the muck and the mire. He came, hallelujah, glory to God, to purify us, to cleanse us, to give us new life. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's celebrate him in this season. Glory to God. We got to get up out of here. Let's celebrate him. I got so much more to tell you. Amen. God gave me a lot while I was away. Okay. Amen. But amen. We got to get out of here. And so let's celebrate Jesus Christ as the Savior and the Redeemer and the divine God that he is. He came to save our lives and cleanse us and change us. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas to you. Hallelujah. We won't talk to you until next week. So Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. We love you. And remember that today is another day of miracles.
It was the night before Christmas. And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind,
friends, be sure and join True Talk once again next Sunday at 2:30. And until then, a Merry Christmas to you, one and all, from Chip Collins, management and staff of AM 1340, wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas and the most happy and prosperous New Year.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the
It's time for Living the Good Life. Right here on Tan Talk Network, we are looking forward to the show today. It is Christmas time 2019, and I am Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Along with me is the famous associate pastor.
Hey.
Pastor Jim Ellsbury, along with our wonderful counselor, our in-house counselor. Oh, you thought I meant Jesus, wonderful counselor. Yes, I do mean Jesus,
wonderful
counselor.
I was wondering where you were headed with that.
I do mean Jesus, but I also mean Dr. Angel. Dr. Angel Falzoni, are you there?
I am here.
All right, I got both of you. So it's been a busy time for us at Beacon of Hope. A lot going on, a great big Christmas dinner and party today. We survived it, Angel. We survived it.
We did.
You never know, right?
Yes.
It was wild.
It was great.
It was great. White elephant gift exchange, which is always fun. A lot of food. Pastor Jim, you didn't eat hardly anything. I saw you didn't eat hardly anything.
Yeah, I had a whole plate and then a whole regular plate and a whole plate of desserts. And I took desserts home.
There you go. I guess you're proving me wrong. You did eat something. Yeah.
We'll never have one of those where I don't eat.
No. We were planning a great big day next Sunday with our dear friends, the McKays, who were just on right before us. And we are moving that to March 29th because of a lot of things going on right now in everybody's lives. People out of town, people gone next week, a lot of stuff going on. So we are moving that to March 29th. So if you were planning on being with us at Beacon of Hope next Sunday with the McKays and Pastor Paula's church, then we will be doing that March 29th. Write it on your calendar, the fifth Sunday of the month. That's when we tend to do these gatherings. This time, though, it just ended up being Christmas week and really kind of crazy time. Right, Angel? I mean, kind of crazy time.
It is a little bit. It got a lot going. A lot of people going to be out of town. And
that's the whole thing for us. We don't want to not have a lot of our people there, so... So it's going to work out better. March 29th, and we'll have great music from both churches, and some of our gang, and it'll just be a wonderful service. So look forward to it, 10 a.m. at Beacon of Hope, which is 2058 Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. That's where we're at. Those are our new digs. PJ, it's really a blessing. You know, next Sunday we're going to have the last Sunday of the year. And so we were going to really start this new year with the theme of counting your blessings. And do we have any to count?
Oh, please. We've had a whole year full of blessings. In fact, I mentioned it this morning, I think during during the offering time. A year ago when we had our white elephant gift party after church, we almost had to spill out into your backyard.
It was full.
Because we were still meeting up at pastor's house, and it was just packed.
It was packed.
And so, I mean, we've had the blessing of a new building.
Yes.
You know, and I just want to say right here, Pastor and Dr. Angel, thank you for listening to the Lord.
Yes.
Because you were kind of the prime movers of that.
We were.
Well, yeah, you were. You two covenanted together and...
I think Angel started with her in her heart, although we had all been praying for several months.
We've been praying.
And then the how to make it happen started in your heart, Angel.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
Well, it was funny because it was, I think it was like in September of 2018 when I just saw this. I was praying and reading, and I was traveling for work, and I just had this vision when I was traveling for work, because I get to spend a lot of time reading when you're in a hotel by yourself. And I just felt like God laid on our heart that, like, there needs to be a church with my counseling practice in it.
Right.
And at that time, I was working for a large company, and, like, everything was different.
You
and
were then traveling. You had a very good job.
Shared it with you, and then 6-7 months later, suddenly God provided.
Absolutely. And we moved in. May 19th was our first service in that new facility. We love it there. It is so comfortable. We had plenty of room for all the white elephant gifts and everybody to have a great time today, plus a great dinner. So we always have dinners. I mean, when you come, when the McKays come, there will be a feast. So plan, put it on your calendar for March 29th, and we will have a combined service, three churches together in our facility. I'm very excited about it. I wanted to do it next week, but there were too many obstacles with so many of our people. So I'm glad that we are all going to be on the same page in just a few weeks right there. So... blessings, counting every blessing. Jim, you got a blessing?
I have the blessing of, well, I've had some financial blessings. Have a brand new car. Praise
That's
God.
That's pretty cool.
That's
yeah,
pretty
it's
cool.
A beautiful
praise
car.
God for that. Praise God that, you know, I said this morning too, God is so faithful.
Amen. Yes, he is. Yes.
I was speaking in reference to tithing, and there's that scripture.
Amen.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed out begging for bread.
Amen.
And even at the toughest times, and we've all had some. Even when I wasn't going to church, I was tithing somewhere.
Sure, sure.
And God has blessed that. I mean, I really, and, you know, my father passed away last February, and I tithed off the inheritance.
Yes.
I mean, God
it's wonderful.
Said, yeah, God said, do it.
And what a blessing.
And I did, and I have a new car. So.
There you go. Well, wow. You know, it's as we are faithful with our money, our time, and so often people say, well, I don't have enough money to give to the church. You know what I mean?
Give 50 cents.
Give something.
Give something.
I mean, 10% is what we want to do, but there are sometimes people need to start somewhere. Don't you think, Angel?
I agree with you, and just getting consistent, you know, whatever that is, and that usually helps, you know, just the consistency. So starting small, if it's, you know, $5 a week or whatever just starting small and, you know, giving and getting used to giving and giving joyfully.
Amen. Well, and the giver, the ultimate giver is God the Father. For God so loved the world, we quote this all the time on this show, for God so loved the world, that's us, that's you, listener, for God so loved the world that he gave, there's that word, his only begotten son. He's an example of a giver. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the essence of Christmas, really.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? And so let's play this song by Matthew West, The Heart of Christmas. Love it. We played it a couple weeks ago, but I love it. So we're going to play it again, our Christmas show.
I'm going to make a wish this Christmas. I'm going to say a little prayer. I'm going to stop here for a moment before the moment disappears. The world's in a hurry this December. City streets and shopping malls. I wish we could slow down and remember the meaning of it all. Wherever you are, no matter how far, come back to the heart of Christmas. Live while you can, cherish the moment and the ones that you love. Make sure they know it and don't miss it. The heart of Christmas. Let's make it feel the way it used to. Let's find the wonder of a child. All around you, come on and open up your eyes. Well, you can find it in the warm embrace of your family, or calling up a long lost friend. You can even find it in the eyes of a stranger when you reach out a helping hand.
Song. Welcome back to Living the Good Life. We're going to Isaiah chapter 9 for just a couple verses here to set the stage. Back 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, God had already planned. I believe he planned the birth of his son before the foundation of the earth. This was all the plan. God the Father had the plan. And so he began to speak to different prophets and tell them what was about to happen. Kind of a forewarning. But also, I think, a way to look back and see that God fulfilled his promises, okay? And in Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 8, we see this, 6 and 7, for a child, this is 700 or 800 years before Jesus came to this earth, a child has been born for us, a gift, there's that word, the gift of a son for us. He'll take over the running of the world. His names will be, there's four of them, I love these, Amazing Counselor, Strong God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, or Prince of Wholeness. In some translations, they are called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This is describing Jesus, that he would come to this earth. And it said his ruling authority will grow and there'll be no limits to the wholeness he'll bring. And he rules from the historic David throne over the promised kingdom. And it goes on to say, and through the, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, but one of the things I love about the Christmas story is that it fulfills to the T the promises that God made down through the centuries to prophets and said, I'm going to send you the Messiah. He's coming. And for people who feel like Jesus was just a good teacher, no way. How can he be? He was the son and is the son of God and was prophesied so long ago to come at just the right moment in time. That was the Kairos moment, the opportune moment. Do you want to comment on any of that, Jim?
Well, absolutely. I mean, here Isaiah gives the prophecy of kind of what the Messiah is going to be like. I mean, I'm using the New English Translation, which says, and it's called Wonderful Advisor.
Love it, yeah.
I like that. Mighty God, Everlasting Father,
yes.
Prince of Peace.
Right.
And those are some of his titles
exactly.
That the Messiah would have. I mean, Isaiah is just full of prophecies
it
about
is.
Jesus.
It is.
Both his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Isaiah contains all that.
He does.
And, you know, I had mentioned when I preached on this a few weeks back, Daniel gives the timeline. Daniel mm-hmm. pinpoints to the year when the Messiah would come.
Right.
I mean, you know, people will try and say, well, God, you know, people, especially Daniel, well, he didn't write that because it was written much later than when he lived and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but how do you explain that it pinpointed the year that the Messiah would start his ministry?
Right.
I mean, if people try and do away with predictive prophecy, well, this, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. Yeah, it does.
Totally and completely.
And funny thing is, just before this chapter, back in chapter 7.
Yes.
Isaiah tells Ahaz, who was a wicked, wicked king. I mean, he put his son to death to an idol. And Isaiah says, you know, God, here's God's word to you, Ahaz. Ask me for a sign.
Right.
And Ahaz so hypocritically said, oh, I would never test the Lord. And he's been doing it all this time. That's when Isaiah says, here's a sign.
Right.
For unto us a child, or the virgin will conceive and be with child.
Right.
And his name shall be called Emmanuel.
Yeah.
All this shows that God is faithful to his word.
Totally.
He prophesied all of this. Then he said it again when the angel appeared to Mary, and then it came to pass.
Right.
God is faithful. God's word can be trusted. It is, he is faithful to it. He,
absolutely.
If he said it, he'll do it.
Amen. And we know that all these prophecies were fulfilled. For instance, that the Messiah would come through the line of Abraham, David, tribe of Judah, and so many other things. And both Joseph and Mary came from the line of David. Mary through one of David's sons, Nathan, and Joseph came through the line of Solomon. And so, I mean, prophecy was fulfilled all along, Angel. And I mean, the people that try to argue this and say, oh, this is just a nice time to remember each other with a gift. It's so much more than that.
It absolutely is so much more than that. It is the time for us to celebrate the ultimate gift.
Amen. Amen. Which was Jesus.
Yes.
Right. And I love the, in Matthew chapter 1, let's go to about verse 18. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Okay, they were not married at this point. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered that she was pregnant. Now, we know from Luke chapter 1 that the angel Gabriel visited Mary and said, let's run over there because that is so good. We were talking about it this morning and our sermon, but Luke chapter 1, about verse 25 or so, 26?
26 is where it starts.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you want to read that, Jim, and see what the angel said there?
Okay. And in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by his words and began to wonder about the meaning of this greeting. So the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, for he will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you."
Oh, yes. There it is. The Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. "Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age."
Right.
"Although she was called barren, she's now in her sixth month." I like the way that phrases this.
Yeah.
"For nothing... no word of God will fail." I think that's the way the New International translates it. "So Mary said, 'Yes, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to your word.'"
And there Mary is on board. She is not, she was probably startled, but she was not.
Since she was troubled by the greeting.
Right, but she wasn't startled enough to say, "No, don't count me in. No, that's not for me. Talk about it, Dr. Angel." Speaking of angels.
Well, you know.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, of course not. But, you know, Jewish tradition, you know, it was funny. I was talking, I have a good friend who's Jewish, and, you know, she's like, "We're not just, like, Jewish. We, like, are Jewish. Like, it's part of everything we do." And, like, telling sure. their stories of what God has done and, you know, going through all of that is something that they do in their households over and over and
yes,
over.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, knowing that this was, there was the prophecy, so many of them, of the promised Messiah, she had to be so overwhelmed that God had chose her.
Oh.
But yet she just had a heart for God. You know, like, she was just yes. a willing vessel that dared
she
to believe.
She did have a heart after God. Yes, Pastor Jim.
Well, and something I was thinking about, because I know before, the last couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about also Zechariah, who
yes.
was John the Baptist's
yes.
father. One thing I was thinking is, they were two different mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there have been no prophets for 450 years.
Right, it was a big barren time.
This
yes.
huge time when God did not speak.
Right.
And I think Zechariah, though they were righteous, they did the commandments, he kind of looked backwards. Whereas I think Mary had more of a forward look.
Oh, that's good, yeah. She
you know,
did,
she,
yeah.
She's Zechariah, I think, even though he's a priest, I just have an uneasy feeling, and I'll have to ask him this when we get to heaven.
Okay.
Were they just dead words to him? Things learned by rote.
Right.
You know, was it something he just memorized?
It very well could be, because he was shut up by God, his mouth, and he couldn't hear or speak for 9 months, the whole
right.
time of Elizabeth's pregnancy.
So I think that gave him ample opportunity
I
to meditate on the
word. I think that's when God did his work in Zechariah.
And yet, I think Mary had a completely different attitude.
I agree.
To
yes.
where she was, she had that heart after God. Stony heart, soft heart.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that was a big part of the difference.
You got to wonder if in her inner knowing, she knew something special was going to happen to her, but she had no idea what. Because she does not say here, "Oh, well, like Zechariah did, that can't happen." No,
prove
you know,
it.
Yeah, prove it. Or Zechariah was, "Don't you realize how old Elizabeth and I are? We can't have any kids." Mary was young and not married, and so therefore was the victim of a lot of talk, probably, and gossip. Talk to us, Dr. Angel.
Well, sure. I mean, that could have ruined her socially and her whole, you know. So, yeah, that was a big deal. You know, and I just kind of wonder if the difference of the heart, too, was that she was young and hadn't been, you know, kind of jaded by the world yet, you know.
Good point.
You know, the younger
because
we
all, right?
Right.
The older we get, we can get more cynical.
Sure, we do. Life happens, the world happens, and, you know, repeating the same thing over and over and, you know, just kind of becomes part of our habit instead of part of our relationship with God. And so, but what I love most about it is that God used them both.
He did.
He used them both.
And they both came to the same place, which is what I was trying to get to this morning in my sermon, that the Holy Spirit invaded Mary's space, invaded Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they all, in Luke chapter 1, are praising God and giving God the glory, even though they arrived at that place at different ways, right? Go ahead with that, Angel.
Well, sure. I think that just, to me, I love that, how God just... He gets that we're human. He knows that we're dust. And, you know, we all have individual journeys. And my journey may not look like someone else's journey. But, you know, God can still bring us through those journeys.
Oh, yeah.
At, you know, our rate of growth and development, not just, you know, this perfect, you know, God's like, oh, you have to be, everybody's got to be at the same place at the same time. He's not like that.
Go ahead.
Well, and I know you're going to be eventually headed back to Matthew.
Probably.
Probably. Well, I'm going to pick up on Matthew.
Go right ahead.
Because had Joseph repudiated Mary, which he could have done.
He could have,
because a betrothal was as binding as a marriage.
That's right.
He could have divorced her, which would have left her open not to just public shame, but death.
Right. I mean,
under the law, this getting pregnant... Out of wedlock, which was a capital offense.
Which means that God the Father saw the correct person for Mary.
Exactly.
Saw the heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro around the earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His.
Right. And, you know, it's not, Mary plays a really important role. But in Matthew kind of lets us in a little bit on Joseph's heart, because he was going to go by the law. I mean, I think he struggled with it. And if you've ever seen the 1976 miniseries Jesus of Nazareth, that brings that out very well. He goes to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, well, under the law, you know, she should be stoned.
Right.
But God intervenes, because he knew there was that conflict within Joseph. Mm-hmm. And God just intervened with an angelic vision, an angelic dream, and said, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Because this child is of the Holy Spirit.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 is what he's talking about. While he was trying, that's Joseph, to figure a way out, he had a dream. God can invade our space any old way, people. And sometimes it's through a dream. Sometimes it's through something that you read in the Bible. Sometimes it's something that somebody says to you. He had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Joseph, son of David. I'm in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. Joseph, son of David. There you go, son of David. Very important, because that fulfills prophecy. Don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit-controlled. Conceived, I'm sorry. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus. There weren't very many people in the Bible that were named before their birth. There were about 7, as I remember. And Jesus is one of those, because names are so significant. And the name that he was given was Jesus, God saves. And it means our salvation, our deliverance, our helper, our prosperer, and our safety. That's what his name means. Because he will save his people from their sins. That's why he's named that. Wow. Angel, your comment before we go to this song.
Well, I just think it just is amazing to see the whole plan of God and how it's played, just how it unfolds and how it unfolds so perfectly.
It is.
It's totally amazing.
It totally is. So let's go to this amazing song by Faith Hill, A Baby Changes Everything. And by the way, it does. As I await my 13th grandchild
teenage
to be born.
Teenage girl, much too young, unprepared for what's to come. A baby changes everything. not a ring on her hand. All her dreams and all her plans. A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. She loves, she's never touched. How will she keep his trust? A baby changes everything. A baby changes everything. And she cries.
That a baby changes everything. This baby was prophesied about for many centuries. We see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, that the angel said to Joseph, watch for this, remember this. This is what was quoted, remember? Watch for this, a virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, God with us. Then Joseph woke up. And he said, I don't believe any of that. That was kind of a crazy dream. Is that what he said, PJ?
No, he woke up and took Mary as his wife.
Did exactly what God told him to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, he married her. And he did not consummate the marriage till she had the baby, and he named the baby Jesus. That's what he's supposed to do. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Matthew, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, we want to talk about that, Bethlehem. Micah 5:2, I love that verse that is quoted right here in Matthew chapter 2.
Verse 6.
So, go ahead and read it there, Jim. Start with 1 down through 6 and explain that prophecy, if you will.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the time of King Herod, wise men came from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is the one who was born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. After assembling all the chief priests and experts in the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they said, for it is written this way by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are in no way least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Oh, my. There's so much right here.
Go ahead.
Well, first of all, King Herod was very wicked. He was a client king of the Emperor Augustus. So Augustus,
what do you mean a client came?
Augustus put him in power.
Okay.
And he fancied himself historically king of the Jews.
Right.
Although he was an Edomite.
Okay.
So he was not Jewish. His wife was Jewish, but he was not. So he fancied himself as king of the Jews. So how dare somebody else take that? And the wise men, I think in this case, were not so wise. Because they went to him. I mean, I guess that would be a matter of protocol. And the wise men, that the term is magi. It's a priestly caste, right, of like from Persia.
Okay.
So they were astrologers, and they saw the star at its rising. They saw something that caught their attention and all their whatever. And given that they were from Persia, they probably had, there were plenty of Jews in Persia who did not return after the Babylonian captivity. So they probably had heard something about the prophecy, because
sure,
they specifically called him king of the Jews.
Right.
Something happened that they interpreted to be the birth of the king of the Jews. And they figured who better to ask than King Herod. So when they did, you know, Herod found out it was going to be in Bethlehem. And, they, you know, they quote the prophecy here. Of course, we find out later King Herod just said that, and he, you know, tricked them.
He had an evil heart.
Well, he did, because he said, oh, when you go, tell me, come back, tell me where he's at so I can go and worship him too.
Yeah.
Herod obviously had no intention of worshiping the baby.
No.
All he wanted to do was kill the child, because he pictured himself as king of the Jews.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, he, I don't know, very upsetting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of what he actually did.
Well, yes.
Was kill all the babies.
Kill all those babies.
All the male babies in Bethlehem.
But also was a fulfillment of prophecy that all these babies would be
exactly,
killed and slaughtered.
Exactly, because Jeremiah is quoted.
Right, yeah. Angel, will you want to comment on all this? It's pretty interesting stuff, the wise men. We're going to get into what they brought and why, but go ahead.
You know what? This whole thing is really interesting stuff, but it just goes to show the miracle-working hand of God.
It does.
And even in God's most perfect plan here for, you know, Messiah to come, there wasn't without obstacles.
Right.
You know, and I think a lot of times in people's life, you know, they feel like they've heard from God that they have this plan or that plan, and then they hit an obstacle, and then they, like, well, this can't be God, because it's not this perfect paved place. But, you know, God uses those obstacles to show his miracles and to show his power. And so, you know, I think that's pretty amazing.
Oh, it is.
And very encouraging.
Why is it encouraging?
Well, because I think it's very confirming that, you know, like I said, even in God's most perfect plan for Messiah, it wasn't without difficulties and obstacles.
Well, we know the devil wanted this baby killed.
Absolutely.
So Herod would have been, had he been able to succeed, he would have been the instrument of the devil working to do that. Right, Jim?
Well, absolutely. I mean, all through the Old Testament up to Bethlehem, Satan has tried to destroy the Jewish people.
Right.
I mean,
still there is such a stigma against the Jewish people.
It's because before Jesus came, the devil thought if he could stop it, he could stop the Messiah from coming the second time.
Right.
He knows the Bible.
Right.
He knows what Romans chapter 11 says about, you know, all Israel being saved and then Jesus comes back. So if he can destroy the Jews, now he thinks he can stop him from coming back a second time, which of course is foolishness.
Right.
This goes back to something Angel had said earlier, and I agree that one of the strongest arguments for the existence of God is the Jewish people.
Right.
You know, they should not even exist. I mean,
they've been trying
the Pharaoh tried to destroy them. All their enemies, Haman in the Book of Esther,
sure,
tried to kill them all, wiped out.
Let alone Hitler.
Well, and as we approach now tonight, the Feast of Hanukkah.
Right.
Antiochus Epiphanes in the 2nd century BC.
What was that guy's name?
Antiochus Epiphanes.
Want to say that one more time, or can you do it three times in a row real fast?
Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus Epiphanes.
Boy, you're that's amazing. Talent. That's talent. Go ahead.
But he tried to destroy all the Jews, and that's why the Maccabees rose up.
Right, yeah.
He was a little bit more subtle. He just told them they couldn't be Jews and tried to get them to assimilate, to become Greek instead of Jewish. Herod, of course, you know, all the persecutions, ultimately, you know, the Holocaust with Hitler.
Right, sure.
Satan is going to try and wipe out the Jewish
people. Well, there's such a group of people around the globe that still are so anti-Jewish. Mm-hmm. And so, but we see, what we see in this story is that God won, right, Angel? I mean, the devil didn't win here. Not at all. There is no way that he could. And so the wise men went and they found the baby. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was around 2 years old by then is what a lot of people feel, right?
Well, yeah, because it says they were living in a house.
Right.
So this is somewhere, I don't think it's quite as long maybe as 2 years. I think it's sometime after they saw Simeon and Anna, which is 40 right. days after the
right.
birth. So
sure.
sometime
after that,
between there and a couple of years is when this takes place, because Herod died in 4 BC.
Okay.
So I'm thinking maybe a year, because I think Jesus was either born in 5 or 6 AD or BC.
BC.
So.
Yeah, even though we count calendar when Jesus supposedly was born, he really was, they've proven, born 5-6 years prior.
Right, because Herod died 4 years.
Right, and he was around doing all this
so
stuff.
I don't know where I was going with that. Sorry.
Well, the point I want to make is down in verse 10, I believe, of Matthew, wherever we are, Matthew chapter 2, that they arrived at the right time. They got there. Whatever that time was, it was the right time, right?
Right.
And they entered the house. Go ahead.
Well, that was it.
So that's where it says
so
the
I
house.
Think Joseph might have taken
verse 11.
Up carpentry
yeah,
or something.
He must have
that was
worked.
His profession.
He could and have worked for Amazon because I think they were big back then
I
also.
I think they were too.
Yeah.
But I think they probably rented a house.
Right.
This is what came to mind. God sent them to Egypt, which is a detail
yes.
Luke leaves out.
Yes.
And where did they go? Back to hometown Nazareth.
Yes.
That may, you know, God had to kick them out. Sometimes we need a little push.
Mm-hmm.
So that prophecy could be fulfilled.
Could be fulfilled.
As Matthew says, and he will be called a Nazarene.
But that's the point all through this story, one after another. The prophecies all had to be fulfilled, mm-hmm. and they all were, not just one or two. Angel, go ahead.
Well, right. There's many, many prophecies throughout the whole Old Testament, and there's specific prophecies, and yet Jesus fulfilled those prophecies.
He fulfilled them all.
Which should give us that comfort of, this is Messiah beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
you know the mathematical statistic of...
1 in 100 quadrillion.
And there
that's
you go.
And that's just 22.
And that's just 22 prophecies happening? Okay, 1 in 100, okay, yeah, whatever that number is. How many zeros, 15?
I think about 15.
Yeah.
That's a huge number. You have better shot of winning the lottery.
Oh, yeah. My, much better.
You know, so, I mean, that shows us beyond that this
right.
is Messiah.
Verse 11, Matthew chapter 2, the wise men, whatever, however old Jesus was, he was still being held in the arms by his mother. They walked in and they were overcome. I mean, you talk about a journey of faith. And they go and they take these gifts. They kneeled and they worship him. It doesn't say they said, okay, where have you guys been and what's this all about? They knew that this was the Messiah. The wise men knew, right? And they kneeled and they worshiped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts. Samsonite luggage right here. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. Gold standing for the royalty, frankincense, the divinity, and myrrh, the burial that was about to happen. Right, Jim? You want to
right. I mean,
amplify on those three?
Gold is always a symbol of royalty.
Of royalty.
frankincense was one of the ingredients in the incense that was used in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of speaks to Jesus' divinity.
Yes.
And myrrh, later on in John, is one of the spices or ointments that they were going to bury the body. That's something you'd use in burial to preserve the body.
So these gifts were not random. And again, they did not come from Amazon. They were birthed in the hearts of the wise men, that they knew that the gifts were very significant. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. So the myrrh represents his future burial, frankincense, his divinity, and his royalty, the gold. Go ahead.
Well, and I was just going to say, if you ever read all the lyrics to We Three Kings,
yes,
the song speaks to that very thing.
Yes, it's been a while since I read the lyrics to We Three Kings, but yes, that's a good point. In a dream, they were warned not to report. Oh, there's God doing this again, right? In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod, so they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. So God said, hey, wait a minute, don't go back and tell Herod any of this, right? Let's don't do that. Let's just don't do that. Let's just skip that step, right? We know that when God, the angel spoke in Matthew 1 to Joseph and said, this child will be Emmanuel. That's Matthew 1:23. They will name him Emmanuel, God with us. Listen to this song. I love it. And who does this one? Selah.
Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O rejoice!
Praise God. Let's rejoice. Emmanuel has come in the person of Jesus Christ to this earth. And he's still working in our lives and changing us, causing us to become more like him. And that's what it's all about. So we talked about the wise men. Let's talk about verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up again in Joseph's dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. That's what Pastor Jim was talking about a minute ago. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child, wants to kill him. Joseph obeyed. And I love this. It goes on down in verse 15 to say, this Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea, the prophet Hosea, had preached. I called my son out of Egypt. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1 is a prophecy that was fulfilled right here because Joseph did take Mary and baby Jesus and go to Egypt. So it's interesting. The children of Israel fled out of there, and Joseph took Mary and the baby and went to there.
Mm-hmm.
But only for a short time. We're not sure how long, but... Perhaps a couple years, we don't really know, right?
Right. I don't think it was
that long.
I don't think it was too long because it's not too long after this that Herod dies.
Right.
So maybe it may have only been, they may have gone.
It may have been a short time, could be.
Yeah, it could have been just a few weeks, actually.
Well, let's go down to verse 16. No, it's 19 of Matthew chapter 2. Later, when Herod died, God's angel appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Again, God's showing up, talking to Joseph in a dream, talking to in the form of an angel. Get up, take the child and his mother and return to Israel. All those out to murder the child are dead. Joseph obeyed. Okay. He got up, took the child and his mother and re-entered Egypt Israel. When he heard, though, that somebody else had succeeded, this was the son. Archelaus had succeeded his father, Herod. He was afraid to go there. So then he goes down. Another dream happens. He goes to Nazareth. Angel, talk to us about God warning us, God talking to us, God speaking to our hearts.
Well, you know, I just love how this plan just, it's so amazing just to watch the steps of this plan. And, you know, I think oftentimes in our personal life, we kind of just want God to give us the whole picture of what's going to happen. You know, but, you know, God's wisdom is so wise that he knows, really, we can't handle the whole picture. When it keeps us trusting him step by step by step. And, you know, and I love the fact that, you know, God sends an angel or uses a dream and says commands, and Joseph obeyed. And it says that over and over, Joseph obeyed. And that's what God's looking for is that obedience from us. And a lot of it was, you know, he obeyed immediately. And do we do that when we're given, you know, direction from God? Are we obeying? Are we a willing heart? Are we a willing servant? Are we going, but God, really, you want me to go over there? Do you know how inconvenient that's going to be? Like, he didn't. He obeyed.
I believe our human nature tends to come up with those kinds of excuses, right? And go ahead, Jim.
Well, I was going to say, I like the way it's progressively unfolds. I mean, I believe a lot of times God gives us his plan in little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we see the whole thing, it can be so overwhelming. I mean, look, if you said, okay, Joseph, this is what's going to happen. You're going to take Mary, and then you're going to end up going to Bethlehem, and then you're going to get chased out of there because Herod's going to want to kill your baby. So you need to run off to Egypt once that baby's born after you see the wise men. And then you're going to come back and you're going to want to go to Judea, but you got to go to Galilee.
Sounds a little difficult doesn't it?
Sometimes it's too much.
Good point. Isn't it good we don't know the future? One of my kids said something while I was up in Indiana a few days ago about not knowing what's going to happen. I said, we don't need to know. If we knew, we might make a decision that would not be good, or we might go ahead.
Well, some people have.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking globally, some people thought they could force God's hand by predicting the end of the world or
sure,
whatever.
Sure.
And You know, we don't know when that's going to happen. We don't know everything. I mean, God gives us signposts along the way, but we don't have Google Maps for our walk with God. We have, what we have is that old AAA triptych.
Remember, I used to have triptychs. That oblong, did you guys? Oh, did
yes. That long rectangular thing.
Yes.
And you only get a page at a time with that.
Yeah, you did.
And that's okay.
Triptych. That's right.
Because I think sometimes, well, what did God say when the Israelites came out of Egypt? I could send you there right now, but there's too many enemies.
Right.
And you would be weary along the way.
Because God sees the big picture. He sees the path. He does. Angel, you want to talk on that? Because I think we could all talk on that for about 3 hours. But go ahead.
We can. I mean, yeah, he has the beginning from the end perfectly planned. And yet, you know, he kind of sees little, I liken it to like the puzzle piece, you know. You know, God has the box of what the final picture is going to be, but we get like little pieces along the way.
Like when you do a cross, or one of those great big puzzles?
Right, like when there's, you know,
500,000 piece puzzles.
We get these little pieces, and we try to take that little piece and make a whole story out of it. Right. So we see a little pink and we're like, oh, that's going to be a flower or whatever. And then we see it all put together and it's completely something different. Well, that's what God does to us. He gives us these pieces. It keeps us faithful. It keeps us seeking him. Like,
it does.
You know, it keeps, and our faith is progressive.
Right.
You know, you get faith as you trust God and you see him work in us, and then it increases our faith.
It does.
And it's a progressive faith to faith thing for us to grow and mature and develop through him. And so, yeah, as humans, we want to know the whole thing, but we can't handle knowing the whole thing. And we shouldn't know the whole thing. You know, that's
excellent points. We're going to talk more about that in our second hour coming up here. Station ID in just a few minutes. Pastor Jim, would you tell people about our prayer line and why they need to know the email address for that?
I would love to. The email address is prayers, prayers, at bohmglobal.com. We have a prayer ministry that is, well, worldwide. We've gotten requests from everywhere.
From this week. I mean, I don't even know who
those
people were, but that's wonderful. Whoever you are out there, send in your requests because we got people who want to pray.
Yes, we do. And no request is too big, too small. We'll pray for anybody. And not only do we just pray, we pray believing.
We do.
We believe God will answer.
Amen.
And it's send the prayers in. What we do, we take the prayers, the requests, we attach a prayer to it, either myself or Betty or Shell, send it out to our prayer team, so everybody's on the same page.
Right.
We believe in, you know, praying one thing in unity. And then once that, you know, we believe that God is going to move. And I add this, that when God answers your prayer, if you could just send a note back to the prayer line.
We'd love to hear it.
Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Because we'd love to know. And I do save those. I have a special subfolder.
I'd love to hear those.
You know, in my Hotmail note, you know, folders, I have a subfolder just for answered prayers.
Well, just this morning before the service started, there were people coming up to me before I even walked into the sanctuary saying, I have something I'd like to say and thank God for. Well, cool. Let's do it. And we started the service,
right, as
we do a lot of times, with praise reports. Dr. Angel, would you tell about our Thursday night show very briefly here?
Sure. Thursday nights at 6:06 here on this channel, we have our life coaching radio show, Go Yard. It's with me and your alter ego, Mama Mac. And
my alter ego.
It is. And we just tackle real life problems and give you real life solutions to help you through life's journey and to do it successfully and to thrive and not just survive.
And last week we started a two-part series, probably. I don't know, maybe three.
Yes, we did, on emotional exhaustion.
Yes, and it was really good. We got out of there, we go, I'm exhausted. No, we got out there and we said, after we got done with the show, wow, that that spoke to both of us.
Yes, it did.
I mean, what we go through, we all go through emotional exhaustion from time to time. We just want to, you know, curl up in fetal position and take a nap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Join us on Thursday nights at 6:06 p.m. We love doing that show every week. And go to our website, goyard2014.org. Goyard2014.org. And catch a bunch of shows that you may have missed, and they have titles on them, and that's really a cool thing. I want to go back and just remind people, like PJ said, we want you to use the prayer line. We are standing by, ready to pray. We are a ministry of prayer, and we take it very, very seriously. We start prayer at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings for an hour. On Wednesday nights, we have prayer meeting prior to Bible study. It's very important to us. We're a praying group of people, and we want you to enjoy that with us. So send in your requests. Better yet, come to prayer meeting. 9 a.m. Sunday morning, 5:45 on Wednesday night. Be right before Bible study. Here you go. Station ID.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.